Welcome to the Mind Body Reset. This is a nutrition meetup, and I'm Melissa Lands, and we're here with our lead nutritionist, Allison Arnett. So welcome everyone. Allison, hello. You're muted.
Oh, no, I'm not. Hi, everyone. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. So I know Allison just got back from, did you say coaching soccer practice?
Coaching soccer practice. Yeah, I have a kindergartner and we're doing kindergarten soccer and I am a co-coach with a good friend of mine. So we are coaching soccer practice. Yes.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. And Allison has a newborn at home as well. So I'm duly impressed, Allison, that you are out there coaching. And do you have the baby and a baby Bjorn while you're coaching?
I do. I have the baby and the ergo while I'm coaching. No kidding.
Awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. So listen, you guys, the way that it works is if you want to speak, unmute yourself. Everyone, it's just a really casual call. It's a different format than we've had in the past. So speak up if you have a question. We can kind of see everybody's number come up on the board, so don't be shy. But Allison, you know, I love these calls because we just get to wax poetic about everything having to do with nutrition. And so I just wanted to get your take. Like, this is our seventh reset. And so what do you think? Like, has anything changed since the first reset that we did? Anything kind of new? I think for me, the new thing is the mood, right? Like using the reset, not just to lose weight or reduce inflammation or lower cholesterol, but really to mood change overall after like a really rough year. So anything new for you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's I feel like the energy on the board is very much geared towards how everybody's feeling. There's a lot of enthusiasm. I think we continue to take information that our previous resetters and have given us and adapt and update the format. And it seems to be such a great format for everybody this year. The meals seem like everyone's really enjoying them and the energy seems really high. And I agree with you. I don't see, there are comments here and there about weight loss and that's to be expected, but I'm seeing a lot of comments about energy and mood and overall well-being. And I love that because as somebody who's been in this field for a long, long time, I feel as though the focus finally is shifting away from the diet word and away from weight loss and away from calorie counts and much more towards overall health and well-being, which is such a paramount change in the way we're thinking about food and healing ourselves through food.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's so funny because the connection has always been so, so closely related to this idea of, for me, my body, like how do I change my body either for more energy or to lose weight? I mean, I've been on one diet or another before I started these resets. I had been on a diet for 3 decades. So I just love that we're shifting that conversation to how we actually feel, because at the end of the day, that's what's really, really important. I love that. Every reset just gets a little bit more in depth, right? It just takes us a little bit further.
Exactly.
So another thing I wanted to talk about today, just in regards to, you know, most of the people have done a reset before, so we have some pretty savvy resetters this time, as well as some new participants, so welcome. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is there's just this idea of getting enough calories, right? Of getting enough to eat, or getting a, how do we balance that and how do we stay on track? Because I have to say this week so far, I can say that I haven't been 100% successful every single day. And I think that just comes from my head's down in work and I'm doing things. And I literally had to set an alarm to eat my meals, right? And so how do we incorporate this? How do we make sure that we're eating consistently? Like for me, I have to set that alarm, but it also is a matter of getting out of whack, and then I eat something and then I don't eat something for another 5 hours. So where do you see the balance for us, Allison? Because it's, I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with. We're just not used to eating so much or so often.
So often, I think. And in the past, Melissa, we had it set up so that we had the meals and then we said you have to eat snacks, but we kind of gave a list of snacks. Now we've actually put the snacks as part of the meal plan every day with the hopes of changing exactly what you're talking about. But I think it's that mentality of we're so inclined and programmed to work and keep going and push it and not stop and think and breathe. And the way it's formatted this year is such that we're actually saying it. We're actually saying, okay, pause. It's time to take a snack. There is an AM snack in your meal plan. There is a PM snack in your meal plan. So instead of just looking at a list and picking and choosing, the idea is that that's actually, you have it ready for you in advance. And that it's part of your day and structured into your day. And our hope is with that, by week one, for everybody is always a little different, but entering the second week now, the hope is that that is just standard. Like you recognize that, okay, my meal plan has these three meals, these two snacks. We've made the meals a lot easier to execute in the kitchen, but they're still obviously just as good, just as interesting, but they're a lot easier to execute. Chef Leslie did a phenomenal job, I think, this time around, meeting really high demands. Demands of both like amazing tasting food, healthy food, and on top of that, easy to prepare food. And it's just like, she totally hit the bullseye on this one.
I'm excited about this one. So how do you see that translating into, you know, our lives post-reset, this idea of eating more often? Is it just eating smaller more often? Is it eating five times a day and eating like just really small portions, like 300, 350 calories at each sitting? And is that good for our bodies? Like, is that something sustainable even through like workouts and things like that? Because I hear a lot about this idea of interval eating and making sure that we're fueling ourselves. And I know that it's been successful for me. The more that I eat, even if it's in smaller increments, the more that my body is not getting tired, like at that 3 o'clock tired that I normally get, or that mid-morning kind of, that mid-morning lull that I typically have, like around 11 o'clock, I'm not feeling those when I'm actually eating at intervals. So I typically eat at around 7, and then on a good day, right? Now, this is not every day because I'm still like practicing these habits of trying to eat more, but 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. So that's what my alarm is set for. And that's a huge departure from where I am outside of the reset, where I have a coffee at 7 and then I don't have breakfast or anything else until around 10:30. And then I remember lunch around 2 and then I eat at 6. So in my typical, it's like a beverage in the morning and then everything just gets kind of behind. So I don't even give my body enough time to create energy during the day because of my old habits. So I have to say that it's better on the reset by eating, but how does that extend out long term? And what's like a really good interval for us to eat? Like every 2.5 hours, every 3 hours, every 3.5 hours?
So it's a great question. And I hear it all the time from my private clients and from everybody that I've worked with throughout the years. It's how often should I eat? And I think, you know, Oprah broadcast about how often she eats. Weight Watchers has their plan on how often you should eat. So everybody has an idea on how often we should be eating. And the bottom line is, and I know this is part of it is intuition and part of it is knowing your own body. So some people do really well with this reset plan of 5 small meals a day, 2 snacks that are kind of a small meal, and then 3 smaller meals. And some people actually do better blended. So the AM snack and PM snack are in there, but for some people, they might actually take their AM snack and have it as part of their breakfast or as part of their lunch, if that works better for their schedule. So you don't need to work to eat every 3 hours to make it work. The idea is just, let's try this out. So for the first week of the reset, for the second week of the reset, try it out with the intervals. It sort of reminds me of nursing my newborn, right? I nurse her every 3 hours. Every 3 hours we eat. It's sort of the same concept that we're doing to ourselves. It's going back to that primal state of reminding our bodies, setting the clock so that we're aware of hunger, we're aware of thirst, we're aware of feeling full, feeling hungry. We're just kind of getting back in tune with how we feel. And then you adapt and adjust it to your lifestyle. So if you're a person who, you know, you get to work, you hit the ground running, you don't even have a minute until lunchtime after breakfast time, then maybe, unless it makes you too full, maybe you have the and snack with your breakfast, or half of it with your breakfast and the other half with your lunch. And that's just based on your own personal schedule. Or if you're a person who really doesn't love to eat first thing in the morning, maybe you have your little AM snack as your breakfast and save that bigger breakfast for later in the day. So it really depends on how it works best for you to give you energy.
What you just said is a really good idea. I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to switch and have my snack in the morning when I'm not really feeling it, when I really don't want to eat. And then I'm going to eat my breakfast like around 10 o'clock for my snack.
Yeah, so I'm either an early morning exerciser or a late night exerciser. So with the three kids, one of them who's still up multiple times a night, I kind of either work out right before I go to bed, or I'm up right after the baby nurses at like 4:30 in the morning. And that's when I get my workout in. So for me, that's huge, because sometimes it's just, you know, I work out and then I'm really not hungry. So I might just take, you know, my almonds and piece of fruit at that point in time and then wait. And then I feel that real hunger closer to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning when I'm at work. And that's where I'll actually have a bowl of oatmeal. And then, or my smoothie that I've prepared and brought in with me. And then I'll, you know, wait again till lunch. So it just find out how it works for you and use this time to play around with it. And I'd love to hear, you know, as we move on to week two and week three, if people are doing that and sort of trying the AM snack first, or right, having part of it with lunch, how that works out and how you feel on it, because this is an opportunity to learn what works best for you. And since we have a lot of reset veterans, I think we're already kind of programmed to start doing that now.
Yeah. Speaking of fruit. Okay. So I get this question a lot. Is it okay to eat fruit after dinner?
So it is fine to eat fruit after dinner, 100% fine. It's actually a great way to end your day. My only thing is, if somebody is replacing snacking, sitting on the sofa and snacking on chips with sitting on the sofa and snacking on fruit, don't do that.
Okay.
Even if it's carrots, don't do it.
Replacement for the munchies.
It's not a replacement for the munchies. So if you'd like to have a piece of fruit after your dinner, awesome, by all means. Cut up an apple, sit down at the table, eat your apple, enjoy it. But don't sit in front of the TV with that apple plate in front of you, because then sooner or later you'll go back to that bag of chips when you run out of apples and don't make it to the grocery store. So train your body to eat your meals.
Oh, you always will, Ellison.
I know. But yeah, a piece of fruit is totally fine after dinner.
I love what you said, though, because that's true. That's about making habits, right? So if you make a habit that you're not eating on the couch while watching TV, then it just becomes something that's really out of the norm when you go to do it. And I think that's really true. I mean, so you know my husband, Trent Allison, he is in the habit. Like, he has to have something at 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, babe, we stopped eating 2 hours ago. Like, it's over. Like, it's done. We don't do this anymore. And he's like, I have to have something. Like, I need to have something. So he goes into the kitchen at 9 o'clock at night, and he knows he can't have anything that's not reset approved. So he gets like the peanut butter jar and an apple and some blueberries or something. The peanut butter jar, the apple, some blueberries, whatever. And he sits there and he snacks as if he's having like his evening, you know, cake or cookies or whatever it is. And it makes me nuts, because I'm like, this is the habit that gets us in trouble. Because as soon as, I'm telling you, I don't know about you guys, but in my house, the day after Halloween through January 1st is literally cake and cookie time. Like, we can't get away from it. It's like something happens the day after Halloween and we have to have a warm baked treat. And for the first 5 years of my marriage, like, I'm 15 years in now, but the first 5 years of my marriage, those 2 months, my husband would look at me and say, so what are you baking tonight? And I'd literally get up at 8:30 at night and go bake cookies or bake a pie or do whatever so that we would have a snack every night. So getting out of that habit is so important. So I'm glad you said that, because I was kind of thinking like my almond milk and blueberries, like while I was watching TV, would be okay. But you're right, it's the same exact habit, and I'm trying to get rid of those habits. Yeah, so exactly. I love that. I love that concept. I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to unmute everyone. And does anybody have a question or a comment for Allison or myself, or you just want to brag about how good you're doing, or you want to get support on how maybe you might not be doing so well? I already admitted that I'm not doing great in the eating interval. I'm not eating enough. But anybody else have something that is just kind of on their mind? Because we are here to support. And I asked the question and one person hung up. So it's scary. I know, it's scary. I asked the question and I saw one person leave. I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. So listen, it is, you guys, we're here from you. These calls are about you. It's definitely, Allison and I can get together whenever we'd like and talk about nutrition, but it's really, if you just want to listen, that's totally fine, but don't be shy about letting us know what's happening in your old house, in your own household, which either might be inspirational for somebody else, or it could be helpful to somebody else to see where you're struggling. So I'll leave it on mute for a little while Allison and I continue to kind of go through some questions. Allison, so we talked about eating intervals. So you guys, you're not on mute, so you can speak up whenever you'd like, unless you're on mute on your side. On your phone. We talked about the snacks, eating intervals, fruit after dinner. Another question I get, Allison, all the time, and we get this in every reset, and I feel like, you know, I don't know, like carbs are not the enemy, but people always want to know about carbs. I mean, I think it's one of the biggest questions that we get is just this idea of carbs, and so many people want to go low carb or no carb. So I know you have a position on this. I know you have tons of data and you work with your clients on this, but can you give us just a really quick, you know, revisit to the carb debate?
Yep. So the quick answer is carbs are our friend. It just depends on what type of carbs we're choosing. And it's actually a really important distinction. So carbs have this like general bad feeling surrounding them, but I think because we lump them all together. So I think if we just pull them apart and say we have our starchy vegetables like sweet potatoes, which we're using in this week, which are really healthy. And then as we go into next week, you'll see a little brown rice come up in the menu. These are carbs that we want to use. We certainly don't need them every day or with every meal. But starchy vegetables, fruit, whole grains, you're going to see them all throughout the reset. But we're kind of showing them, we're showcasing them in maybe much more limited quantities than what you've done in the past. And we're offering an option. So if you didn't want to do brown rice, you could choose cauliflower rice instead. That's totally fine. But brown rice is totally fine as well. So we want to give ourselves that option to either do a regular carbohydrate or maybe just get some a regular whole grain, or maybe just get some carbs from fruits and vegetables. Either way is fine. We definitely aren't promoting low carb. We're definitely not promoting no carb.
So, you know, I need rules. So give me a rule. Like, what carbs should I not be eating at all? Are there any that are like, no, do not eat those?
Anything white. So white pasta, white rice, the carbs that like white flour. So white bread, anything that comes in cookies, cakes, pastries, things like that. The
and carbs so that we that just moving to a whole grain version of that. If you were having something gluten or picking out a gluten free cut style rice flour or something like that.
So no, I never tell people to replace gluten with gluten free. It's a really terrible idea. Okay. And it's so often what people do going into this gluten free strategy and this gluten free concept is often people think, well, if I just take out the gluten, I replace it with gluten free, I'll feel a lot better. But the enemy isn't gluten. Well, for some people that have severe allergies or celiac disease, yeah, gluten is an enemy. But for the rest of us, it's not. For the rest of us, it's more the overabundance of processed carbohydrates that are in our diet. So if we start taking out those white and processed carbohydrates and not replacing them with another white or processed carbohydrate and bring in whole foods, so whole grains meaning the grain that is still whole. So not a whole grain cereal that says, I am, you know, Quaker oat squares and I am, right, I have some whole grains in me. It's a whole grain cereal like oatmeal. It's a whole grain like quinoa. Don't don't look for boxes or bags that say contains whole grain, or I have whole grain instead of white, or I am now a whole grain Oreo cookie. It's still at the end of the day and
non-fat, Oreo cookie. Right?
It's right, exactly. Instead, the foods that you want to look for are getting your carbohydrates from fresh fruits, from vegetables, including starchy vegetables like peas and corn and sweet potatoes, and whole grains like quinoa and brown rice and amaranth and sorghum and any whole grains that you could think of to bring in.
All right, awesome. Maybe we should do a grain chart, because I think a lot of these are becoming more and more available in grocery stores, but people just don't know what they are, how to work with them, or even like what they would replace. So maybe we should like do some type of grain chart so that people can start trying some of these things. Because
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that would be okay.
Bob's Red Mill has come out actually with a line of like all the ancient grains. So it's really easy to get them now, whereas TEFF used to be a grain that some people didn't even know about, or if they did, they couldn't access it, especially in certain areas of the country. And now you can pretty much on Amazon or Thrive Market or whatever online retailer you use, or mostly even in your local grocery store, you can find a lot of these ancient grains and start incorporating them. And they're really cool and tasty and interesting. And I think once your family kind of gets accustomed to using them in the place of white pasta or in the place of white rice, you find that it's actually really enjoyable. You have a different chew, a different texture, a different flavor profile. They work really well in stews and soups, and it just gives you some really interesting depth in the kitchen.
Awesome. All right, let's see. Okay, well, everyone's still kind of unmuted, at least on our end. You might have your phone on mute, but does anybody have a question? Brave soul, anybody? All right, I see someone from the 216, I see someone from the 908, the 303, the 925, the 808, that's Hawaii. Nobody? All right, guys. So Allison, any tips going into next week? Menus come out tomorrow. Any tips or tricks just to stay the course and stay on track for the reset?
Yep. So I think I've heard a couple of people already talk about, because we have so many reset veterans. I've already heard people kind of trying to figure out what teas to use. So if you're part of the Fresh 180, or if you've been part of some of our other programs, you probably already have some really good teas that you do, iced tea or hot tea. Do I still have you on?
Yeah.
Okay, your screen's frozen for some reason, on my end anyway. So, yeah, bring those teas in, especially as it starts getting colder, to kind of warm you up and give you some extra liquid. So I think fluid is something we haven't really talked about, and water is great, but I know sometimes people get sick of plain water, and that's totally understandable and fine. So let's talk about water alternatives for a minute. Fizzy water is fine. Sorry?
Can you see me?
I can't right now. I can hear you, but not see you, Melissa.
So I'm holding up my
there we go.
Water bottle and my tea that I made and brought in a mason jar to work. So these are right here on my desk, and I'm just sipping on them all day long. When I'm bored with water, I'm drinking a little tea. When I'm bored with tea, I'm drinking a little water. And we're having a heat wave, so the water's coming in good. But yes. And we can post some of those as well, some of our great hydration recipes and infusions, like hot infusions. I'll post a few of those on the dashboard.
Yeah, so definitely hydrate, and especially if you're exercising, especially if you're in the Northeast, I think it's finally going to start getting chilly and feel a little bit more like fall, which some people are looking forward to, some aren't, but definitely hydrate. I know some people are talking about extra trips to the bathroom. That's great. That's fine. Go to the bathroom more as long as you're staying hydrated. And I think also going into week two, I just say start thinking about how you're feeling, thinking about what gives you energy. Not everything works perfectly for everybody. So if you find, I know Ara was talking about the snacks that work, the snacks that don't, and maybe feeling a little hungry some days and full other days, so flip-flopping things around, that's totally fine. If it doesn't work for you, if you want the morning snack as the afternoon snack, if you want Tuesday snack as Monday snack, go for it. Have fun with it. Flip it around. Make it work for you. This is a program that's designed to give you a really good guideline and a really good core, but it's also designed so that you can be a little flexible within it and still be successful. And that's what's unique about the Fresh 20 Reset programs. A lot of these reset type things that you might find out there are really rigid, and you have to subscribe to a certain theory, or you have to buy a certain amount of shakes or supplements or bars or whatever it is. There's nothing to buy. There's no definitive, you have to have this at this time or you won't be successful. You have to eat none of this or you won't be successful. We keep it really open-ended, and that's intentional. And that's how we find people have the most success in this program.
Love it. Love it. All right, guys, if nobody has any questions or shares, any wins, anything, inspiration, or that they're struggling with, going, gone. Anybody have anything? You have to unmute yourself for me to hear you. No? All right. So everyone's shy the first week. All right. Well, we will see you again. We have a Facebook Live workshop on Tuesday, and then we have another Q&A in 2 weeks, so we should be further along, and hopefully we'll get some shares on that as well. So you guys just keep going. Menu's out tomorrow. Have an amazing weekend, and I'll post this up on the dashboard in the next couple of days. And just so welcome to the first week, and keep on trucking. Thanks, Allison.
Thanks, Melissa. Talk to you later.
Bye.